Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Welcome back to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast. This is part two of Tawny Richardson's episode. As per usual, you have myself, Tyler Yaw, and Chris Kellum as your co-hosts. Please enjoy part two. Here's Tawny Richardson again.
Dude, 6 months ago, this completely changed my perspective on life. And it was a Facebook post, nonetheless. Of all things, it was a Facebook post. And it was one of my friends. His name is Sam. And he put on there, if you're stressed, you're living in the future. If you're angry, you're living in the past. If you're content, you're living in the moment. And I was like, holy shit, that is so smart. And I started thinking about it. I'm like, okay, everything that I'm stressed about right now, what is it about? And I called my buddy Mike, who works with me at CCP. I was like, dude, I just read this. Like, help me process through this real quick, because Mike is about 10 to 15 years older than me. He's somebody that I deeply respect. And when I have problems, I call Mike.
Yeah,
and he's probably sick of me calling him, but I call him at least once or twice a week. Me and him have probably hour-long conversations about stuff.
Yeah,
and he's like, all stress is, how did he put it? God, I wish I would have wrote this down. Stress is basically your body's response to not having control. Yeah. That's all it is. Or your body's response to what might happen. Like, cause like the post said, if you're stressed, you're living in the future. So we've developed all of these things in our brain that might happen to us. And we have no idea if it's even true or not. Mm-hmm. We have no clue, you know, like today, if I got sued today, right? Somebody sued me. Now I'm in a mindset of, I'm not going to stress about it. You know why? Cause we ain't been to court yet.
Right.
All it is a piece of paper right now. Don't mean a damn thing.
True.
Mm-hmm. So what's there to stress about? You turn it over to somebody who can control the situation, which is an attorney, and then hopefully you hire the right one and they'll communicate right. And they'll communicate with you properly. You know, so it's like, I'm not going to sit here and get stressed out about something that is 6 months down the road of a court date. I can't let that paralyze me to not being able to live my life or not get sleep or go to the gym or spend time with my wife and my kids or go play golf or whatever it is. Right. Like, you can't let that paralyze you. And there's too many people. I'm about to go on a tangent here, so y'all just get ready. There's too many people out there that are like, you know, I need to know my inner self or something like that. Like, I've heard it so many times, and it's like, or I need to take care of me, or I need to focus on me and all that good stuff. And I'm like, well, you can't focus on yourself if you don't know who you are. The first thing you need to do is figure out why you're even here.
Yeah.
Why are you even on this earth to begin with? Because we're all put here with a purpose. One of the things that I wrote down was, you're not here to be a nobody, but a somebody. That isn't like everybody, so you can help anybody. Like, we're all here for a reason. So go find what your purpose is and go freaking do it. And you'll find out who your supporters are once you start telling people what you want to do.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
You know, go get that core group of people that's going to support you, but also be real with you. You don't need a bunch of yes men standing around you telling you everything you should do is right.
Yep.
Because that's going to lead you down a terrible road as well. But I mean, for me, man, I know why I'm here. I know what my purpose is in life. My purpose is to help people. If that's in marketing, freaking great. If it's not, whatever.
Yep.
You know, it is what it is. I get paid to coach people in marketing, and I freaking love it. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
You hit on something that's been super close to my heart rate recently, too, is there's some people in the media, I guess you could say, that's prominent, and they keep – a lot of yes men around them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what you want either.
Mm-mm.
Exactly what you said. And really what it comes down to is people that are so close to you and that understand your heart so similarly to what you need to be led to. And they will lead you to that. If you find the group of people that are willing to be so honest with you and so truthful with you, you need the truth.
Yeah.
You don't need yes men. You don't need no men. You don't need anyone to tell you that you can't do it or that you can do it. You need the truth, and you need the truth around you. And if the truth can truly be around you and you find those true group of people that can surround you with that, mm-hmm. that's the true way to success.
Yeah, and don't get offended
no matter what
by
that
it.
Is. Exactly.
And then don't be offended when somebody tells you the truth. Mm-hmm. Like, we live in a society of just people who can't handle that, in my opinion. And and I don't mean to generalize like that, because there's certainly many people out there that can handle the truth. But what I'm just going based off of what we see and and all that good stuff. Like, I'm not a pessimist whatsoever. I don't think the world's going to hell in a handbasket by any stretch of the imagination. But you have to respect other people's opinions.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I'm sure if we talked long enough, we would find something we all disagree on.
Absolutely.
I'm sure we would. But there's a level of respect that you have earned as a man and a father. Mm-hmm. There's a level of respect that you – are you a dad? No. Okay. There's a level of respect that you've earned as a man that I owe you. And I respect – like, you've had different life experiences than I have. Same thing applies to you. So you look at the world a little bit differently. You have a different lens that you view the world through. And that's okay. That's mm-hmm. what makes us all great. That's what, and if we could just stop getting so damn offended by everything when someone disagrees with us, we might learn something.
Yeah.
And it just bugs the shit out of me. I'm sorry I'm cussing so much, but it does. It just bugs the crap out of me when people just get so offended that I disagree with them. It's like, I'm not telling you you're a bad person. I'm just telling you what my experience is and trying to get you to look at the other side of the coin here.
Yeah.
Because there's two sides to every story.
Absolutely. I say that all the time.
Yeah.
Actually, I say there's three sides to every side.
Oh, yeah. There's actually three sides. Yeah. Yeah. There's your story, my story, then the truth.
Yes. And people are like, you sound ridiculous. I'm like, no. Everybody, like, I work with a bunch of people, and like, someone will tell me a story, and someone else will tell me the story. And I'm like, I'm going to take both your sides and come up with the actual what happened. Mm. And so many people, like you said, just take offense to everything. I'm like, I don't have to agree with you. Mm-mm. I just have to hear your point of the view, like your point of view, your side of the story.
Yep.
And like, okay, cool. Like, I see it. Do I agree with it? No, we were talking about this earlier today. I was like, I don't think that just because you have money, you should keep making money and, or, you know, get higher things. I think the person who hasn't created any money at the point he saved up, he wants to buy something, sure. I think they should have the opportunity.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and like I said, money is like money, religion, and politics are the three things you don't talk about, right? Yeah. But like with me, man, you know, I make more money now than I've ever made in my life. Mm-hmm. Being where I am, sold the company, you know, I'm working with Contractor Coach Pro, you know, and all that good stuff. And I probably got a couple things that I can make some side money on if I really wanted to. But just because I make more money doesn't mean that I've changed.
No.
It doesn't mean that I owe anybody a damn thing either. No, I don't owe anybody anything except for my wife and kids. And at the end of the day, all of us are trying to make a better life for our kids than what we had when we were kids. That's not to say our parents did anything wrong. Like, I love the way I grew up on an 82-acre tobacco farm in Wendell, North Carolina, in a freaking double-wide trailer for the first 10 years of my life.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have it any other way. I loved it. I learned hard work. I learned work ethic. I learned respect. You know, I watched my parents had me at 19 years old, guys. 19 years old. They'd been married for 7 months when I was born, and I was 2 weeks late, by the way. Do the math. All right? So, I mean, I could easily not be here if my parents would have chosen a different route.
Right.
But guess what? They didn't. They chose to have me, and I learned a crap ton. You know, but I also had the ability to watch my dad in his late 20s grow up as well. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad tells me all the time, I hate that I wasn't a better father to you. I was a much better father to your sister, who's 10 years younger than me, by the way. But I was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Don't beat yourself up about that, because I got to watch you parent her the right way, which is going to help me be a better dad, because I was old enough to watch that. Mm. Because I didn't need as much attention as my sister, who's 10 years younger than me, is.
True.
So that's my perspective on that, though. I know we just went off on a big tangent.
No, that's fine, because it was very similar to what Reggie's story was, part one and two, right?
Yeah.
And then Chris and I disagree on a lot of things, and we share stuff back and forth all the time on TikTok about things that we agree with or disagree with or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But here we are still a year later – years later from when we've known each other, a year later from when we started the podcast. And then even on top of that, part to what you said is the reason why I have the burn that I have to do better for my kids is my dad grew up in the projects and just growing up the way that he did. So my, part of my burn is being able to provide a better future for my kids than what my dad was able to provide for me. And just be, because I know that was part of
his drive
was to provide a better future for myself. So if I can provide something better for my kids, mm-hmm. just to just continue that kind of perpetual motion, exactly what you said.
Yeah.
And I think that's extremely important, is just taking whatever the cards that you've been dealt and being able to make the best of whatever that worst is to make yourself better is one thing that you can do better for the world.
Yeah. And knowing how to play those cards. Yeah. Sometimes you're going to have to bluff it, right? Like I lied and said I knew how to fly a drone and do videos, right? I completely bluffed with the cards that I had been dealt. But guess what? I freaking won on that hand.
Yeah.
You know, and but now there's been plenty of times I bluffed and got called on it too. Yeah. You know, so it's, but I'm going to reverse the roles on you. I'm going to ask you some questions real quick. So, because I don't know much about either one of you guys. Yeah. We had, a 10-minute conversation before I walked in here. But what do you guys do for a living? I mean, seriously, like, because I have no idea what you guys do.
I'm a financial advisor.
Okay.
I'm in retail.
Okay. So why? Why are you financial advisor?
That's a long story. But the short version of that story is I found out I was good with finances. Mm-hmm. And then I found out what happened to my grandma and how she could have better produced that for herself,
yep.
and could have provided a better future for herself.
Yeah. So, and I love that. I'm not like trying to challenge anybody on anything, right? Yeah. But like, why are you in retail?
Oh, I just like helping people.
Okay. But the thing is you both of you have a why, mm-hmm. of why you do what you do.
Absolutely.
And there's too many people out there that just have a job because they have to have it, not because they want to have it, mm-hmm. you know, for you, because people buy your why, not your what.
Yep.
Every single time. So for you, your why is great. This is why I do what I do. I don't want to see you end up where my grandmother was. And that's the lens that I look at this, is that lens. And that's awesome. You know, for you, why are you in retail? I just like helping people, man. And dude, there ain't nothing wrong with that. That's great. Yeah. I love that. I just want to help you out. I'm here. I'm a smiling face.
Some days, right?
You know, I like bringing joy to people.
He's lying. He's always a smiling face. Anytime anyone walked into that Reed store, he's a smiling face.
Unless I'm hungover or sore from CrossFit.
Fair enough.
And dude, he's still smiling.
Bro, I gave up CrossFit 2 years ago, man.
It's a good workout. Like, we've been doing it.
Hold on. Which CrossFit were you going to?
I was at CrossFit Wilmington.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you.
Go to Essential.
Nope. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to. So I know Ann. Me and Ann used to work out together at CrossFit Wilmington before she started Essential CrossFit. Yeah. And I've been there to train with her and work with her. It's just, I'm way too competitive.
Okay.
And it's my fault I had to stop doing it. And I'll fully admit that. It's not CrossFit. It's my fault. Like, I went in there, and my first class, I was like, dude, just get through the workout, right? Like, that's probably my mentality about the first 2 to 3 months. And then I started realizing, like, I can actually beat these guys.
Yeah.
And so then I started training to compete. So I was doing 2-a-days. You know, I was doing a strength training session, then a WOD session, and all that good stuff. And then shoulders started becoming a problem.
Yep.
And then I turned 33. And it also doesn't help in CrossFit when you're over 6 feet tall, and I'm 6'2"-ish, 6'3"-ish, somewhere in there, depending on what bar I walk out of. And it's a joke, by the way. I don't drink that much.
I know what you mean.
But, man, things just started hurting. Like, I couldn't get out of bed in the morning because I was just – it wasn't soreness anymore. Like, I know what sore feels like.
Right.
And it was not sore. Like, I was hurting.
Yep.
And it also didn't help that I was, you know, holding mitts for a freaking professional MMA fighter at the time, too. Like, that certainly didn't help. So my shoulders not were just all. Completely toasted. And I was like, I can't do this anymore, man. Like, I got to go find something else to do. Yeah. I have to go find something else to do.
Fair.
So, it makes plenty of sense.
Yeah. So now I go in and do your typical workouts at True Fit right there on Market Street because it's close to the house.
They're great too.
Yeah, I love TrueFit. Those guys are good, man. I like those guys. I enjoy working out there. Yeah, I also have a member. I also have a membership at Planet Fitness as well. Okay. Just because I do when I traveled a lot and I would stay overnight, there's a Planet Fitness everywhere. So for $20, I can train anywhere in the freaking country. So, and if we're in a hurry, I just need to jump over, go get like a quick 30-minute workout in. I can just literally jump over there, go get a quick workout because it's closer than any other gym.
Yeah.
And then jump back over to the house and we're good to go.
Nice.
So, but yeah, man, I got one more thing I wanted to say real quick. If that's cool.
Please.
So I actually two more quotes. One of them is actually from a client of mine.
Okay.
So he's a mentor. Mm-hmm. That's like what he does. And he's trying to grow his company.
Okay.
And get things moving. And his saying for his company is reduce complexity, maximize simplicity, and transfer clarity. Like that's the saying for his company. And then the last thing that I wanted to make sure that I said, and these are just all things that have just made a difference in my life.
Yeah.
You know, I saw this quote. I don't even know who Billy Sunday is, but I just saw this quote. But and he said it. He said, an excuse is the skin of reason packed with a lie.
Hmm.
And I was like, there's a lot of truth there.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I've never heard that. Yeah. That's
amazing. Yeah. And I got to thinking about it. I'm like, man, like my daughter, so we got her this dollhouse. We didn't. Freaking grandparents did.
This thing
is like 5 feet tall, bro. This thing is huge.
Oh, it's a true dollhouse.
Oh, it is a true dollhouse, bro. This thing is massive.
That's taller than your wife.
It's up there. Dude. My wife's like 5'1", 5'2", somewhere in there. Like, she's eye to eye with the roof, all right? And she's forever like, Daddy, come play with me in my dollhouse. And I don't know, are y'all at that stage yet to where it's like, come play with me here and all that good stuff?
I have a 2.5-year-old son, so okay. It's getting close.
Okay, so I don't know why. That is exhausting to go play in that dollhouse for me, dude. Like, it is just like, it burns me up. And I'm forever just coming up with an excuse. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, Daddy's got to do this real quick. Or Daddy's got to go do this. I'll be up there in a minute. And it's like, no. It's just, I've reasoned in my mind that I need to go do something else, but it's really a lie. I don't have to go do that right now. Like, the priority in my life needs to be my daughter. Even it, and dude, it's 10, 15 minutes, man, and then she's on to the next thing, and it's over with. But it's like, for some reason in my mind, that 10 to 15 minutes is just like, this is exhausting, and it is so hard to do this. But having a daughter first forced me to calm down, massively forced me to calm down. Dude, I was high strung, like, all throughout the military. You've seen it.
Yes.
Right? I was high strung, 10 feet tall and bulletproof, young, dumb, full of cum, whatever you want to call it, right? Like, that's just what I was. And when I got to college, I calmed down a little bit in college. You know, being at Liberty certainly brought me down a couple pegs a little bit. And then not drinking certainly helped out. Because it was alcohol abuse. I'll go ahead and tell you that. I did not drink for the enjoyment of how it tasted. I drank for the purposes of tonight I'm getting hammered. And that was it. That's why I drank Natty Light so much when I was in the military.
Yep.
And I'm sure,
gosh,
I'm sure you've had one or two of those.
I remember Natty Lights.
Yeah.
It's
the cheapest beer in the world. It's one step up from Milwaukee's Best. Because it is not Milwaukee. If that's Milwaukee's Best, I ain't going to Milwaukee because it tastes terrible.
This is the joke. Like, my mom is from like Wisconsin, like before she moved down to North Carolina. And she was like, Milwaukee's Best is probably their second worst beer.
Yeah, oh, it's terrible, man. It's awful. I've never been to Milwaukee. I don't really want to go. But I'm just saying, it is what it is. But I mean, and then when I met Alex, you guys don't know this because y'all were only with her for an hour. Mm-hmm. She's a pretty emotional person. Like, her emotions are all over the place, right? And I had to learn how to slow down and just be like, all right, what is actually the problem? Because it's not what you say it is. And just ask questions.
Yep.
And then having my daughter forced me to have to do it even more because 2-year-old reasoning is not very good reasoning.
You got that right.
It's just not, right? No. Like, my daughter will be 4 in a couple of weeks, which is wild to think I have a 4-year-old. Mm-hmm. But like, now I had to learn with her, I have to take her, remove her from wherever the problem is, get one-on-one with her, get down on her level, and just have a conversation. Which also helped me become a better coach as well in what I do. And I don't mean that by saying business owners are like 3-year-olds, but I mean that from the perspective of, I've got to slow down. Like, if somebody's like, I want leads. Okay, cool. We all want leads.
Yeah,
right. Like, of course we do. You guys would love to have leads for sponsorships for this thing, right? Like, we all want leads. But it's like, okay, you don't just want leads. Where do you want leads from?
Yep.
What kind of lead do you want? Because if you just, me and you talked about this outside. If you tell me, well, anybody with a roof, hell, I can send you that. Yeah. Do you want the trailer park repair then? Because I can send that one to you. You know, do you want the guy who's 4 hours away? Because I can go get that one for you too. Well, no. Okay, so it's not everybody with a roof. So there's a geographical location that you're looking for. You know, okay, now who's your target audience? You know, so just going through all of that stuff and then figuring out, okay, now that we know who your target audience is, where are they actually located? Digitally, not geographically. Yeah. We've already established that. And we have tools that tell you, broken down between men, women, and age group, where they are. You know, now everybody's going to be on Facebook. We all know that. Yeah, that's a given. Yeah. But you know what the second most visited, quote unquote, social media site in the world is right now?
TikTok.
Huh?
YouTube.
Yes. YouTube's number two.
Oh.
You know what number three is?
Probably TikTok.
No.
No?
Uh-uh. Ask Jeeves.
No, I said social media. Not searching. No. That's Instagram.
I can see that.
Okay, yeah.
And then it's TikTok. Okay. And then it's Twitter. Sorry. I'm wrong. LinkedIn is number three.
No shit.
Instagram is number four, and TikTok is number five. And then Twitter falls after that.
Okay.
So that's just how it is, though, man. I mean, but you have to know where that target audience is based off of age and gender.
Right.
So, and once you figure that portion of it out, then we can develop an entire marketing strategy that falls around it. Mm-hmm. Because everybody goes to Google.
Yep.
Like if you were to go, if your roof started leaking tonight, where are you going to go? And what are you going to type?
Yep.
You know, roofer near me or roofer in Wilmington. Do you show up? You know, so, and it's on how much do we spend? You know, and putting all those things together and then figuring out, do you actually want to do this yourself or do you want to send it to somebody? Do you want to send it to a third party and let them take care of it?
Right.
You know, how much time do you actually have on your hands to get this stuff done? Mm-hmm. And then lastly, what do you expect out of them?
Right.
Because that's the last place that there's massive loss of communication. You go to them and say, I want leads. And then they send you leads and then you fuss at them because they're not good leads. Or you say, I want leads and I want to hear, here, 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 and here. And then they do that, but you're still getting a couple of them that aren't good. They're just like, well, you suck at your job. No, I don't. I can't help it, but so much, man. Like, you know, but it's having clear expectations and then telling them, these are the things that I need you to do. This is how I'm judging success.
Mm-hmm.
Because marketing companies, typically, if it's Google, it's cost per click stuff. So what we have to do is tell them, I don't view success on that. I view it from phone calls and form fill outs and stuff like that. That's how we're judging whether we have a successful campaign. So now they know what the barometer is and for success.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the types of things that we kind of go through with the folks that we work with. And then also budgeting and tracking and all of those things too. So that's really what I'm passionate about and really what I'm digging into right now.
Yeah, so a real life situation from that too is something that my wife and I experienced not too long ago. Is we have our laundry room is on our second floor, and our washing machine had a leak. So it was going to the garage. Thank goodness it was the garage.
Yeah, right. Right.
But beyond that is we were making phone calls, and I don't want to say we had an unlimited budget, but it was a high budget. It was significant enough that we would have paid what needed to be paid.
And why? Why were you willing to pay what needed to be paid, though?
Yeah, because there was water coming through our roof.
Exactly, right? That's why. But you also didn't want to be taken advantage of either.
Right. So, like, I was willing to pay what needed to be paid to get it done instantly.
Uh-huh.
And we called so many people, like, oh, well, we don't really do that.
Oh,
I'm like, what the fuck are you talking? Dude. Why are you showing up first on my Instagram, on my Google search?
Oh, dude, we could literally go for an hour about this. This pisses me off more than anything else. Look, if you roofing contractor, I'm going to look at the camera when I say this. Right. If roofing contractors watch this, y'all are dumbasses if y'all don't take repairs. Here's what, how old is your house?
10 years, 11 years old. Not
When's
that
the last
old.
Time the roof was replaced?
Never.
Exactly. So guess what? The life of your roof is done already. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that right now. Yeah. If you have an active leak coming into your roof, it's done. And you probably have discontinued shingles on your roof as well because they don't make them anymore. So you can't do a repair on it. Yep. So what do you have to do? A full effing replacement on the roof. And you're probably going to get it paid for by insurance.
Yep.
Which means it's probably only going to be $1,500 to $2,500 out of your pocket. You're more than happy to pay for that if that means getting the whole thing replaced.
Yep.
Roofers are so dumb sometimes. It's like, why in the world would you not go look at a repair?
Yep.
Why? And even if you do go look at it and it is a repair, you do a good job. Guess what's going to happen when they actually need you to come do something? They're going to call you back.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Dude, that drives me nuts, man.
If someone would have come, because I'm going to be 100% honest with you, it took me 5 phone calls to figure out, to get someone out to my house. And if anyone had showed up and been like, oh, hey, it's just this. But, oh, hey, by the way, when I was looking at it, you have this, this, and this issue that might show up. I would have been like, oh, shit.
Fix it.
Let's go. Because at the issue itself, it was $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
But with the whole issue together, would have been, what, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000, $15,000?
So the average roof right now is $15,000 in
exactly,
the country.
Exactly, $15,000.
But so guess what? You're still only paying $1,500.
Exactly. I would have paid $1,500 to $2,000 out of my insurance.
Yeah.
That company would have got $15,000.
But refused to show up because it was a repair. That drives me nuts, man. I can't stand
it's
it.
Absurd.
It drives me bonkers, dude. Like, we had a hailstorm. I don't know if you remember this. A hailstorm came through here, what, about a year and a half, 2 years ago?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was like pea-sized hail. It didn't do any damage or anything. But I called folks because I know what hail does to a roof. I've been in the roofing industry for over 5 years now doing the marketing for them. So I know what hail does.
Yep.
It took me 5 phone calls to get somebody because it wasn't enough hail.
Come look.
Like, bro, just come look at it. And the craziest part is they don't know what I do for a living.
Yeah.
And they don't know the people that I know. And if they would have come out, so the company that finally came out, Valiant Restoration, by the way, shout out to you for actually showing up and looking at my house. And they drove 45 minutes to get there because they're not based in Wilmington. They're in freaking Leland.
Shit, good for them.
So they found, but it took me that long to finally find somebody to give us a call. Or not give us a call, but actually show up. And they showed up. And now everybody who asked me, because they know what I do for a living in my community, you know who they're going to ask when they need help with all that good stuff? They're going to ask me. So who am I going to tell them? Them.
Yeah.
Like, you never know what it could lead to. Like, and I love that about what you guys do here, like the networking that you do and respecting what other people do and showing up. You never know what that connection can make for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's another form of marketing.
Yeah.
Is referral based.
Yep.
And for some reason, home service contractors just freaking forget that. And I'm sure other businesses do too. It's just that's who I work with more than anybody else. So that's where I see. And God bless, just freaking show up. That's 90% of the battle.
Yeah.
At the gym, with your kids, in business, with your spouse, church.
Mm-hmm.
Just show up. You've already got an A just because you're right. There. It doesn't take that much effort to get the last 10% to give 100.
Yep.
So that's right.
When we first started, we were still getting over, 100 listens episode. And there's people that weren't willing to come out for 45 minutes for a episode of a listen. But now we have a line out the door.
Yeah, of course, right?
Yeah. But before, like, you're getting in front of 400 people for 45 minutes of your time.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, for me, that would have been worth it. Yeah. But, I mean, whatever the case may be.
But the thing is that now you guys have the power to choose who you want to bring on here because you have people reaching out to you to do it. Like, you guys reached out to me after you saw the video that I posted that I sold the company.
Yeah.
Or whoever runs your social media did anyways. I reached out, I was like, hey, we'd love to have you. I was like, the good news is I already knew who you guys were because Alex was already scheduled to come on here. So I was like, all right, they're legit. I can go check these guys out. You know what I mean? But now, every week when the podcast comes out, I listen to it.
Right.
Like every week.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's good stuff, and there's a relationship there, which is why I like forming those relationships with people.
Exactly.
Is because now they're willing to listen to what I have to say. We can have hard conversations now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not awkward for me to call them and just be like, dude, you're like 2 months late on your invoice. Come on, man. Or girl. Or whoever it is. Like, we're better than this.
Yeah.
You know, I know you're better than this. This isn't who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can have that conversation with them, and it's not nearly as hard because there's a relationship there and they know it's coming from a place of I love you and not a I want your money type of thing.
Yep.
So I mean, our saying at Contractor Coach Pro is love, serve, care.
Okay.
That's what it's all about. Love on you, serve you, and care for you. And at the end of the day, our mission statement is empowering people to believe.
Yeah.
That's all we care about, man. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
Like, if I can make you believe that marketing can work for you, there's power in that. And in the first meeting, because we do what's called discovery calls, which are completely free, by the way. You can do that with me because, yeah, I'm a 1099 contractor with CCP, so everything they send me, I split with them.
Right.
But if I get it myself, that's my money.
That's yours.
You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, that's on me if I procure it myself. But, like, I tell people from the beginning, as long as you have the belief in the budget, we can do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But you have to have belief in budget. Always get pushback on the budget part, by the way.
I can see that.
Sometimes on the belief part, because usually the first 20 minutes is like a therapy session of them telling me how much marketing companies suck.
I'll help you with the budget part, because the whole entire time I grew up, it was all about how to save a buck.
Yeah.
And not knowing how to spend a buck to earn a buck.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finally started working with the coach that I have now, really
made a
difference.
Which is Reggie, right?
No.
You work with Reggie?
I don't work with Reggie.
Oh, I thought you did. I thought that's what I heard.
So let me say, I highly recommend if you're in the Wilmington area and you have a Wilmington-based business, work with Reggie. I went to his playbook. It's fantastic. Go to it. If it makes sense for you, do it.
Mm-hmm.
My coach is not Reggie. It's someone else.
Okay, fair enough.
Picked up a coach before.
Before I met okay. Reggie.
I thought I heard you say that you worked with Reggie. I couldn't remember.
No, yeah, it's fine. But just a coach in general. Because the money that I'm spending for a coach now easily outspends what I'm spending for coach.
Oh, yeah.
And if you find the right coach at the right time for the right thing, it makes so much sense. So don't fear spending a dollar to make 10.
Yep. And then also the other piece of advice that I'll give on when you're working with a coach is those first couple weeks, you're probably not going to get but so far because you're still learning each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also establishing a baseline of where you are. Mm-hmm. That's just the reality of it.
That makes sense.
You know, because you have to.
Yeah.
Like when the first couple of sessions that I have with people, I'm trying to figure out, okay, what's your culture like within your company? Number one, because culture, if you're a business owner and if the business owner doesn't establish the culture and stick to it, the employees will do it for him.
Right.
Every single time. So as a business owner, you have to take responsibility for that. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, well, what are you passionate about? Like, why do you do what you do? Like for you, you explained it to me because what you saw happen to your grandmother for you. Yep. You just like helping people, right? Hey, that's fine. You know, like I'm working with a company right now where they're all about giving back to autism awareness. That's like the big thing for them because their family's been directly affected by that type of stuff. And it's like, okay, that's great. I love that. Do you think your target audience would also appreciate that?
Fair. Yeah.
Is it yes or no? It's like, well, yeah, they would love that. Okay, so why don't you talk about it? I'm not saying get up there with a big check and be like, oh, look what we did. Yeah. No, but it's just communicating that with them. It's like in the sales process, just communicate it with them. When you're sitting there with them, just be like, hey, we just want to let you know that this is something that we're passionate about. We give back X percentage of our profits to this organization to make sure that we're actually helping somebody.
Yeah.
You know, is there another company that's probably going to do that in your area? Probably not.
Mm-mm.
So you just set yourself apart. So now they know it's not all about the money to you. You know, so understanding what they want and knowing what your why is. Like, dude, we go through that for probably 3 weeks before we ever actually get to the process of marketing.
Yeah.
But I established that from the very beginning. This is what it's going to look like. And if you're not willing to give me 6 to 8 weeks of your life and committing to that for 2 months and spending $10,000 over the course of 2 months to make sure that we're setting you up, then I'm not the coach for you. Go find somebody else who doesn't care about your culture.
Yep.
So that's cool.
Your laptop died.
Oh,
it is what it is. I don't care. That's fine.
Yeah, it's okay.
But I mean, but that's the philosophy that I take into it. Like, I can't help you until I truly know what you want.
Yeah.
I just can't. I mean, even in marketing, I can't do it until I know what you want.
Right.
So that's my coaching philosophy. It works for some. It doesn't work for everybody. Not everybody's my client, and I'm not everybody's coach, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, dude, there's plenty of really good coaches out there.
Yeah.
Like, I was listening to the one with Reggie.
Yeah.
There's a couple things that he said that I didn't necessarily agree with it, but that's okay. I still respect him. The guy's still a freaking phenomenal coach. That doesn't mean he sucks at life.
Right.
You know, that just means that we have a philosophy disagree. And I'm sure if I sat down with Reggie and had a conversation with him, he could either change my – he could probably change my mind, because there's not but so much you can really get into in a 1 to 2 hour long exactly. talk with somebody yes. and really discussing a philosophy behind why you do what you do in coaching. Like, we're prior military.
Yes.
You know, for me, my wife's tried to get me to go to a therapist for years because she swears up and down I have PTSD. I mean, I don't have PTSD. I just don't like fireworks. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't like fireworks. You know, there's – I don't think I personally have PTSD, but that's mm-hmm. me, though. But it's also relevance.
Yep.
I've seen guys with horrible PTSD. Like, dude, they couldn't even – like, the fan can't be on in the room because it reminds them of a helicopter.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not that bad. You know, and I know how to control my emotions. I don't just get randomly pissed off and start punching walls and losing my temper on people.
Right.
I'm pretty subdued compared to what I was 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, I don't need a therapist for that. I don't have mommy and daddy issues, mm-hmm. you know, because that's how I look at therapy. Yeah. And I might be wrong. If I'm wrong, by God, I'm just wrong. But that's just how I personally look at it. I don't see where a therapist is going to help me a whole lot. And again, I'm probably wrong. This is probably the part you should have been recording, because I'm sure tons of therapists would comment on that and just be like, no, you need a therapist. But that's just where I stand, though. Yeah. I'm not, and maybe I'm just not ready for that in my life yet, because I also think you need to be ready for that. Like, if I'm not going to commit to it, why would I waste your time, number one, mm-hmm. and mine, number two?
Yeah.
It's the same thing in coaching. If you're not ready to do it, don't waste my time.
Yep. I haven't said this out loud on the actual podcast, but I will now, because you brought it up, and I feel a connection to you, and I feel like it's the right time.
Yeah.
I never thought like I actually needed a therapist.
Yeah.
Very similar. Like, I don't have the mommy and daddy issues. I don't have the whatever the case may be. And it's just helped to be able to just, like, sit down and talk to someone to just like, hey, you know what? This is what I'm going through.
Yeah.
And someone that has zero connection and being able to have that conversation. And when Reggie especially said, hey, you should have a therapist, a
personal trainer,
and a performance coach.
Yep. Yep.
And I already had a performance coach.
Mm-hmm.
Already kind of had someone that was kind of helping me in the physical side. I was like, yeah, you know what? You're probably right. I should probably go talk to someone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and what I hear when you say that is, make sure you have a great support system around you. That's what I hear. Yes. And I am very, very blessed that I have a phenomenal support system around me. And I know that. Like, I have three people in my life that I could literally call at any time and just be like, dude, this is where I am. This is where my head is. I just need somebody to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm with CCP, probably more than that.
Yeah.
But I know I have those people around me and that I trust that aren't my yes men that we talked about earlier, that are just going to tell me the truth of where we are. Mike being one of them. Like I told you earlier, I have at least an hour long conversation with him a week. You could call him my therapist if you wanted to, but like I have that support system that I've built around me through the networking opportunities that I have in building those deep, meaningful relationships and not getting offended when someone just tells me the truth about something, you know, because and I feel like that's, in my opinion, sometimes that might be why people need a therapist, is to have somebody who's not connected to them to just be like, no, this is actually what's going on here. You don't have a psychiatric problem. You just need somebody who understands where you're coming from, and also someone who's not emotionally attached to tell you the truth. I would 100% agree with him on that. 100%.
I think you hit it on the head there. So, and that a lot of us do. Yeah. And then just having someone to be open and honest with, and now that you have that, like with Mike, so you're blessed enough to not have to pay that person.
So I like the money that I have in my bank account and don't want to spend it. I'm just cheap. Right. That's really what it comes down to. I'm just cheap.
Frugal.
No. Dude, Lord, we say frugal. Look, man, let me tell you something.
You can call whatever you want.
Let me tell you something, man. I far outspend my wife every month, and I will fully admit that.
Yeah.
I buy a new pair of Jordans every month.
We had a conversation about that the other day.
Oh, with my wife?
Yeah.
I will fully admit that I spend more than she does. Fully admit it.
Well, no, she was arguing. She's like, well, he wants to buy me a pair of J's. And I'm like, you need a pair of J's. And she's
Oh, no. We need another podcast.
But then she was like, well, but I want a pair of Golden Gooses. And I'm like, I mean,
Why do you want a pair of dirty shoes?
What the hell? Yes. I saw that on Instagram.
Let me tell you what a golden goose is. It's a freaking pair of shoes from Walmart that they rubbed in the dirt and put a star on the side of it and sell it for $400. That's what it is. I'm not buying a pair of pre-dirty shoes. Fair. I'm not doing it. I mean, if she wants it, she can go buy it. But I'm not buying a pair of $400 shoes that are already dirty. I'm not doing it.
I never even heard of that before.
Was it Champion? That's now like stupid expensive.
Probably.
Like there's another.
That's another one. New Balance is having some crazy stuff coming out.
But my argument.
Freaking dad shoes.
Yeah. I looked at her and I was like, okay, I understand if you're going to get them dirty, might as well get them dirty. Because I know if I get a pair of J's, they're going to be worn at this time. They're going to be scotch guarded.
Yes.
I'm going to walk this way. But if you don't care.
These are Gore-Texes.
Okay.
So they're with the Gore-Tex material, so they're waterproof.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So I didn't mind wearing them in the rain today because they're waterproof. But guess what? I'm only walking on asphalt and concrete.
Right.
I'm not walking in the mud.
So my car was parked in front of the house, and there's like not a walkway to get there. I went out the back door while it was raining to make sure that I could stay on concrete and asphalt. Got soaking wet before I got in the car, literally, so I didn't get my shoes dirty. But so I think. I'm not saying my wife doesn't think through things, but like I'm willing to do it. Whereas my wife is like, nope, we're one track minded. Get to the car. You know what I mean? Like I purposefully try not to crease my shoes. I'm not going to resell them. It's just like, right, and you're going to crease them. There's nothing you can do about it. But at least the first couple times that I wear them, they're not going
to
be creased.
You have to mentally learn to walk a certain way as to not crease them.
It's so hard, dude. You look like a freaking penguin.
Yeah.
I swear to God, you do. Right. You look so dumb. But like with these, they don't crease.
No, Gore-Tex is great.
It's not going to crease. Because that's
what we had as our cold weather gear.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is awesome.
That's why I bought these, because it was cold weather gear. I knew exactly.
I know these are going to work.
I know this works, right? Yeah, so that's why I did what I did. But at the end of the day, I mean, I know this is supposed to be a one-hour podcast.
That's fine. It is what it is. We have no limit.
Trying not to turn this into a two-part series either. But, you know, for me, exactly what I said in the video of how you communicated with me to begin with, I want meaningful relationships with people. That's it. That's all I care about, man. Like, I want to know you for you.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, you have experiences I don't have, like we said earlier, man. And I want to know what those are. It makes me a better person. It makes me wiser as a person because I can understand where you're coming from.
Yes.
At the end of the day. Same thing applies to you as well. Like you said, your dad grew up in the projects. Mm-hmm. My dad grew up on an 82-acre tobacco farm. And guess what? I grew up on the same freaking tobacco farm. Yeah. You know, like, so, but my dad was the one that broke the mold of being a farmer. He goes, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. So he became an engineer.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's retired now. At 53 years old, he was able to retire because he worked with the state for 30 years.
Damn.
You know, so he's living his second life and he's young enough to where he can enjoy time with his grandkids. And I'm like, I see what he did. I want the same thing.
Yeah.
Which is why I work so hard right now is trying to get us financially set up to by the time I'm 40, 45 years old, I don't have to work unless I just want to.
Yeah.
And my daughter is only going to be, what, 9, 10 years old? Mm-hmm. And now I have the chance to be there for her through those critical years of preteen and early teen and high school and, you know, developing a relationship with my daughter and son as well to where they can be truthful with me.
Right.
You know, we're really good with discipline right now. Yeah. Really good. My daughter's probably one of the most respectful 3-year-olds I've ever met in my life. But it took a lot of like hard work to get to that point, but I was able to give myself that opportunity to do it because I have more time now than what I've ever had to be able to do those types of things.
Yeah.
And I would encourage anybody, if you have an idea of something that you're passionate about and you think there's something there that's a legitimate business, what do you have to lose? Because you don't want to be, you guys said it last week on the podcast, man, you don't want to be 65 years old going, I wish I would have. That scares me more than anything else. Thinking that I could say at 65, I wish I would have. And I'm not going to do that.
You bring up a good point, too, because one of the things that I hear often just like in society, right, is like, oh, I don't make enough money for this, or I don't make enough money for that. So I'm at the point where I have a good job, but I'm kind of tailored to the point where I have to show up every day, right? Because I'm beholden to the corporation that I work for.
Yeah.
And if I would have had the opportunity, I'm at the position where if I didn't make as much money as I do now, mm-hmm. I'd be able to make the sacrifice to give up what I have to do this. But it's almost like I have too much to give up to try something new. And I know it's not the case, because that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now, right? Mm-hmm. But there's so many people that are like, oh, well, I don't want to give up what I have now.
My question would be why.
Exactly.
Why? Ask why 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll actually get to the root of the problem.
So that's exactly where I'm at, because my dad is in the operations industry. And the one thing that he said to me when I was going through college, when I had to actually go through a internship, mm-hmm. I actually internship with my dad. Mm-hmm. And he said, actually ask why 7 times. Mm. And same concept, right?
Yeah, same concept.
And you'll get to the root of it.
Exactly.
And ask why 7 times and you'll find the real root of where mm-hmm. you're at.
Exactly.
And that meant a lot to me. And that's why I'm taking the risk that I'm taking now. Like, okay, yeah. I could be at a different point, but I'm willing to take a risk to where I want to go.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Yeah. And that's the, I actually learned that just a couple of weeks ago. So you were years and years ahead of me with that one. It was my buddy Chuck, who's a sales coach with CCP as well. Mm. He's like, just ask why 5 times. And it was more of a sales type of thing.
Yeah.
But I was like, how do we kind of apply that to just life in general? You know, like, well, I can't start a company. Well, why?
Yeah.
Because I don't have the money. Well, why don't you have the money? And you get people to start thinking kind of down that road of, well, why don't you have it? Well, I don't have it because I'm locked into this job. Well, why are you locked into that job?
Right.
You know, and you start getting to the root of why they're not willing to start the company. And now you can start overcoming what that genuine fear is.
Mm-hmm.
And because the presence of fear, so without fear, there's no bravery. Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist. Yeah. Right. So when you say somebody is brave, that means that they took the fear that they had in front of them and they were willing to say, F it, I'm going to go do it anyways.
Right.
That's all bravery is just overcoming fear. But you have to have fear in order to create the bravery.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
That's a reality of life.
Yeah.
So like I was scared to death to start Nubs Media. I was petrified. Dude, I had a great paying job at the company I was at before I started it. And then it just all went. And on top of that, I had, a 1.5-year-old. Just found out my wife was pregnant with the second one. And we also just bought a $400,000 house that we had where we were depending on that money to be able to pay for it.
Right.
And only had one more paycheck coming from that company. And it wasn't even a full paycheck. Mm. And I was like, this is scary, dude. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have a safety net anymore. So, and it's amazing the risks. For me, it's amazing what you're willing to try when you don't have a safety net.
Yep.
Or you're either going to not do it because you don't have a safety net. Those are your two options. Mm-hmm. You can either take the risk and try to walk the tightrope and just get it done. And if you fall, then it sucks, right? Like it really does. It freaking sucks. But that's the fear portion of it. But you become braver because you were able to. And then once you start walking it, you get those life experiences where you're like, okay, well, we made it through this, so I know we'll be able to do this. Or, hey, this is what I did wrong last time. Let's do it differently this go around. If I ever started another company, I'd do it completely different than what Nubs Media was.
Sure.
Completely different. First off, it wouldn't be in marketing. First off. That's the first ultimate change that we're making. But second, I'm going to immediately start bringing people on that I can give responsibility to, so my presence doesn't determine the growth anymore. I want the company to grow without me there, mm-hmm. which commission structures and paying people the right stuff and all that jazz. So,
yeah,
but at some point you have to overcome that fear of wanting to do your own thing. Like, dude, small business built this country.
Yeah, it did.
It genuinely did. And small business still is the crux of this company, no matter how much Amazon and Tesla and all those guys think they own it. They don't.
Nope. The majority of the United States is built on 80% of employment is based on a small business.
Yeah.
So it's incredible that way. And then I posted something on my personal face or my Instagram not too long ago that the difference between bravery versus safety and what the difference is there. And it's huge.
Yeah.
There's nothing else that can really go against that. And it's, having that safety net is what's keeping you from hitting the point that you can actually reach yourself.
Yeah. Well, I want to make sure I say one more thing before we jump off of this podcast. I'm going to try to make it through this, dude, because this one hit me really hard about a week and a half ago. So y'all forgive me for a second. This is going to get really, really deep because this situation is very, very like, oh, dude, it hits me right here. Like I in church this morning, these folks were sitting in front of me and dude, it took everything in me not to cry. So a good buddy of mine, his name's Aaron. I'm not going to like blast their names all over the place. I'm just going to say his first name. He's a lawyer here in town. And they just found out his wife has cancer. Dude, they are 35 and 36 years old. Oh, super young. They have two kids. And they just genuinely, give me a second, man. You're good. They don't know how much longer she has at freaking 36 years old, dude. And I put myself in that position this morning because, dude, we were in church knowing this woman has cancer. It's lung cancer, and it's already spread to her brain. And, dude, she's just in there just worshiping and getting after it, dude. I mean, and there's too many people. And they're just standing there beside each other, dude, just loving on each other, holding each other's hands, and just worshiping together. And it was – I'm sitting there. I'm like, dude, I hope and I pray if me and Alex were ever in that situation, we could still – and, dude, they're smiling coming into church. Just happy as they can be, hugging on everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, just thrilled to be there, just taking every ounce of life, and just soaking it in, man. And whether if you pray, freaking great. If you believe in a higher being, awesome. I love it. I do. I believe that God exists and He's real. Mm-hmm. That's my experience in life. And if you have it in you, man, just pray for these guys, dude. Like, honest to God, man, like, they got two beautiful young kids that are both under 4 or 5 years old, and they don't know what the future holds for her now that she has lung cancer with the potential of it spreading to her brain, man. And it's just, man, like, I couldn't make it through a worship song this morning, dude. I couldn't do it. Like, I had to quit singing because I felt tears coming. I was like, I ain't gonna sit here and break down in tears and tear. I ain't doing that. But I don't know, man. It's just... that just seeing that this morning just brought to the forefront of my brain, like, dude, she knows that there's a potential that life is limited for her, and she has a really good idea of how long it might be. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude, if I knew I had less than a year, what would I do? What's the most important thing to me right now? You know, how would I spend my time? How would I spend my money? You know, who would I spend my time with? Because mm-hmm. for me, I know you're going to ask me this, so I'm going to go ahead and ask the question to you. For me, the definition of success is being able to do what I want, when I want, how I want, with who I want. That's success to me.
Yeah.
And because if you have all the time in the world, you most likely don't have any money, so you can't do what you want. If you have all the money in the world, you most likely don't have enough time to do anything.
Yeah.
So it's finding the perfect balance of time and money to do what I want, when I want, how I want, with who I want. To me, that's what defines success in my mind. Mm-hmm. And but seeing that this morning was like, if it was only a year, if it was 30 days, 60 days, whatever, put a time on it, don't care. What would I do tomorrow? Or what would I do this afternoon? Does the money really make a difference at the end of the day now? Does it matter? Do the Jordans make a difference at the end of the day? You know, does the fact that I own a company mean anything to anybody? You know, so for me, it comes down to the legacy side of it. Like, how am I remembered with the people that I'm around the most?
Yeah.
Or the people that see my social media posts, what do they perceive me as? Did I actually make a difference? 3 weeks ago, a guy that is known in the roofing industry died in a terrible plane crash, 34 years old.
Wow.
Plane crash, dead in Nebraska. Jeez. Owned the largest roofing company in the world. Probably got 20 different locations around the country. Not one person talked about his business, of how they remembered him. Everybody said he was just a good quality, genuine dude who would give you the shirt off of his back. And I'm like, that's a legacy right there.
Yeah.
And that's a legacy. So that's the one that I could not get off of this podcast without mentioning it, just because it was such on the forefront of my mind this morning, man. It just really hit home with me, dude. It really, really did. Because I struggled for a long time. My grandfather passed away at 59 years old. Super young.
Yeah.
He died of this thing called hemochromatosis, which means your blood iron is way too high. That's what it is. Like less than 1% of the population will ever get it. My dad has the gene, which means I could get it.
Wow.
All that means is that I just go donate blood. That's how you prevent it, right? Like that's it. That's how you prevent it. It's not like a medicine or, oh my God, he might have it. No, it's just go donate blood and you solve the problem. Yeah. But that's my dad, because one of the commandments in the Bible, the only commandment in the Bible with a promise is honor your father and mother and you will live long in the land. That's the only one with a promise, mm-hmm. if you look at all of them. And I told my dad, I was like, that doesn't make sense to me now. He's like, what are you talking about? I was like, he said he will live long in the land. He died younger than any of his friends did. Like, it just doesn't check out to me. He goes, life goes past the grave. That's what my dad taught me when I was 16 years old right. or 15 years old. Life goes past the grave. He goes, you're still talking about him today. Because this was like 10 years after he had passed away. He goes, you're still talking about him today. So he still lives. Still to this day. So just because he's not here physically doesn't mean we still talk about him. This man died 18 years ago, and I'm still sitting here talking about him to this day. Right. So his legacy will live on, and I'll tell my kids about him as well, because I don't want that to ever stop, because he made such a big impact on me as well. So there's the last little drop right there.
I appreciate it.
So sorry about that, but it was like I said, man, it was on my mind, man. I couldn't go this time without saying something about that. Cause seriously, man, pray for Aaron and his wife and his kids and that entire family, man. They got tests done last week. They're supposed to know something by the end of this week of exactly the extent of how bad everything is. But she did have adhesions on her brain 2 weeks ago.
Wow. Yeah. So definitely be Aaron prayers.
Yeah. Yep. So that's that. I'm sorry. I had to.
No, that's important. That's what this is about. So I appreciate it. Thank you for sharing.
Yep. God bless. Sorry about that, guys.
It's a true echo. I'm used to it by now.
Yeah. One last question before we end.
Yeah, man.
If you were to tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
God, dude, I've been thinking about this for like 2 weeks.
You're like, since she's been on.
I know. No, man. For me, that quote that I said earlier about stress, if you're stressed, you're living in the future. If you're angry, you're living in the past. If you're content, you're living in the moment. I would go back and tell myself. So the song that reigned in my mind when I thought about it was the song by Brad Paisley called Letter to Me.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have ever heard that. If you haven't, go listen to it. It's a really good song. And what that song kind of says to me is everything's going to be fine, man. Like, you're good. Like, dude, the stuff we used to stress about when we were in high school was so stupid. You know, like it was. Like, I mean, I broke up with my high school sweetheart like 2 weeks before prom. I thought my life was – it was senior prom, by the way. Yeah. And I thought my life was over, dude. And it's like, if I could go back and tell my 17-year-old self, like, bro, dude, you got a beautiful wife. You have two absolutely amazing kids. Like, bro, just chill, man. It's all good. Don't worry about it. Just enjoy life, man. Like, you're angry because of what happened and you couldn't control it. You're stressed out because you don't know if you're going to find somebody else that'll ever be her or whatever it was, you know? Like, that's just one small example. But it's like, man, don't live in the future. But so much. I mean, I think it's good to think about the future. Yeah, sure. I think it's good to plan for the future and all those things. But don't stress about what might, maybe could happen. Just freaking relax, dude. Like, all we have is, like, I've been solely focused on this since we started, because this is the most important thing in my life right now. This is it. When I'm riding home, who knows what the next important thing in my life is going to be. But guess what? As soon as I walk through the front door at my house, my wife and kids are now the most important thing in my life all of a sudden. And that's all that matters. Are there things I need to get done? Yeah, I've been working on freaking a shiplap wall for 4 hours this afternoon, bro. Like, I still got crap I got to get done. Yeah. I got to clean out a garage. I got to do all these different things. But guess what? That's not important right now. And I could stress about all those things that I have to do when I get home, but it's going to take away from the time with the wife and kids, which that needs to be the most important thing. And that's kind of, I hate to be that guy. So I'll just live in the moment, but prioritize what's in the moment. That's what I would say, is don't live in it, but prioritize whatever it is that you're currently doing right now. That's the most important thing right now. That's it. When I'm at work, that phone goes on silent. The only person that can get through to me is my wife. That's it. That's why it took me so long to freaking respond to you guys.
I mean,
it makes sense. Because at that moment, with all due respect, y'all were not the most important thing in my life.
No,
makes sense. For the past 2 hours, you have been.
Yeah.
You know, my wife's texted me 6 times since we've been here. But guess what? I love my wife to death. But right this second, this is what is important. And so prioritizing those things, and that's what I would tell my younger self, man, is just prioritize whatever's sitting in front of you, and that's where you need to be. Because whatever happens in 30 minutes doesn't matter right now.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Right? So do you have anything you want to plug social media wise?
Yeah, man.
Like, I mean, you're the marketing guy.
Yeah, dude. So first and foremost, I mean, look, I love helping people. I think we've established that very well. Marketing's the passion. That's what I know better than anything else in this world. If you're listening to this and you need help with marketing, you know, or you're just confused, you don't even know what your best next step is, you know, or it's just not working, or you've never done it and you're just not sure. Man, I would love to connect with you. Tommy Richardson on Facebook. It's a black and white picture of me. That's about as good as I can really give you. At T Rich Nubs on Instagram. And I think I got to recheck my TikTok, dude, because I really don't remember what it is.
Do you post anything on TikTok?
I do.
Okay.
I post pretty consistently. At Tommy Nubs.
At Tommy Nubs.
At Tommy Nubs. Yeah. So
the double B's?
Huh? Just one.
Okay.
Just one. Yeah. So, I mean, you can connect with me on any of those. I mean, if you want to learn more about me, go watch the videos, man. You can kind of see, because we didn't really dig into philosophies behind marketing and all that good stuff. I didn't feel like that was very important. But I mean, seriously, go watch them. I mean, you'll see what my philosophies are pretty quickly after watching a couple of videos. Yeah. It's pretty straightforward. So that's, I mean.
Cool.
Or you can always email me. If email is your preferred way of communication, it's sure. Tommy@nubsmedia.com.
If you're over 47.
Dude, let me tell you something, man. I got people younger than me that prefer email to communicate in business.
Yeah.
Oh, business-wise, that makes sense.
They prefer that. So, I'd love to help anybody, man.
Cool.
Whatever you guys want.
Perfect.
Down.
Yeah.
All those notes will be in the show notes, pretty much underneath the Instagram post as well as on our social media.
And I can also get you a Calendly link that I'll just send to you that you can post in there as well if you just want to directly just jump on my calendar and have it. Like I said, the first call is free. It don't cost you anything.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't. Well. But if you're not serious about it, don't waste everybody's time. Yeah. don't waste everybody's time, man. I prioritize a bunch of things in my life, you know? Like, I want to make sure if we're together and we're going to work together, we're going to have a conversation.
Make it worthwhile.
Yeah, let's make it worthwhile for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's make sure you get something. You know, mutual respect to one another.
Certainly.
Yep.
Cool.
Or Top Rep. Sorry, almost forgot that one. We have an event coming up at the end of February. If you're a salesperson, go to Top Rep.
What's that?
TopRepTraining.com.
Okay.
Yeah. I got all the plugs, man. I'm a marketing guy, man. I got all the plugs, baby.
That sounds like you got to plug something.
I got all the plugs, man. And go ahead and hit that subscribe button for Whiskey and Wisdom while you're at it if you're listening as well. Just go ahead and hit that subscribe button.
Depending on how ambitious or lazy I feel like being in the next couple of weeks, this may be two episodes, but we'll see.
I am sorry, man. I promise myself.
No, I love it. I love it.
I promised myself I wasn't going to be that guy that you had to split this up into two, but.
No, we love that.
I'm sorry, man.
When it happens, we love it. Because if we didn't want it, we would have cut it off.
That's true. There was a couple of times I was like, all right, he's fixing to cut this off.
No, not at all.
No, I appreciate you guys, man. Thanks for bringing me on. It's been fun.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. Like you said, follow, subscribe, leave a nice 5-star review for us, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Cheers.
Cheers.